Good evening, everyone, and Merry Christmas. Well, we are very thankful to God for this day, which is Christmas Eve, and it's a day of excitement and joy, and I hope that that this message will inspire us to even be more joyful and excited about the season that we find ourselves in. Amen? And I'd like to start with a word of prayer. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you so much for this evening. We are blessed to be alive today. You have seen us through from January, and we are now in December. We are down to a few days to the end of the year. And we are so grateful that in our going out and coming in, you have been with us. You've been with our children and our family. And Lord, we thank you for bringing us together here this evening. We ask that you will help us to understand the purpose for your birth. Help us to embrace the season for which, Lord, you have destined for us today. And help us to walk away here knowing exactly the reason why you came on earth several years ago by this time. I hide myself behind a cross and I ask that you will speak through me, that it will not be my own ways that I speak, but Holy Spirit, that you will declare your will to your children this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, as we all know, today is Christmas Eve, and it's a special day in the life of all of us as believers, and we ought to celebrate this day uniquely among all the days, in fact. But I'd like to start my sermon with a quiz. You know, the title of my sermon is called Joy to the World. That's what I've titled it. But I'd like to start with a quiz. I'm going to read the biography of someone, and at the end of the reading, I'll ask if you can make out who this person is. So it goes like this. In a book called One Solitary Life, which was written in 1963, Dr. James Allen Francis recounted the biography of a famous man. So let's see who this man is. He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another village where he worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. Then, for 30 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never had a family. He never owned a home. He didn't go to college. He never visited a big city. He never traveled more than 200 miles from the place where he was born. He did none of the things that usually accompany greatness. He had no credentials but himself. He was only 33 when the tide of public opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One of them even denied him. He was turned over to his enemies and went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. Whilst he was dying, his executioners gambled for his garments, the only property he had on earth. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 19 centuries have come and gone, and today he is the central figure of the human race. All the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliaments that ever sat, all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man on this earth as much as that one solitary life. So my question to you is, who do you think this person is? Amen? Jesus is his name. So that is the man of whom we are all gathered today. He is the reason for our gathering today. So, I'd like to start again with a couple of things that will cause us to reflect a bit more on this season that we find ourselves. As was read earlier, the birth of Jesus was in fulfillment of prophecy. There were so many prophecies in the Bible, notably the one by Isaiah, and also Jeremiah also gave a prophecy. And to some respects, Ezekiel also prophesied the birth of Jesus. And so we know that from the times past in the ancient days, there was an expectation of a Messiah that was coming. And so, we would like to take a step back and understand from the perspective of prophecy how or what were the thoughts that people had about this Messiah, who was supposed to come. So in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 to 7, as we read a while ago, it says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Verse 7, "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. He will reign upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice henceforth and forever." And then he tells us how this will be done. He says, "The zeal of God will perform this." But I'd like to draw your attention. This is a very popular scripture that most of us here are familiar with. But in studying for tonight, the Spirit of God drew my attention to the first few verses before this very verse that I read. So I'd like to take you back to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 5. So let me see if my cursor will work here. Yes. Let's see. Okay. Okay, perfect. Great. All right. So the verse I just read, as I said, is very popular. We all know it. But I want you to pay attention to the few verses that come before the verse I just read. Isaiah chapter 2, chapter 9, verse 2 to 5. It says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them have the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire." What is Isaiah saying? What is he trying to convey to us? In simple terms, Isaiah foresaw the birth of a Savior. And the circumstances surrounding the birth of that Savior were so uncommon that he began to sort of explain a bit in terms of what was going to happen. So in his mind's eye, he saw in the future that a group of people who lived in darkness all of a sudden have received the light. And the darkness that they lived in represented the sin that had engulfed them all around. And then he's saying that, "I see that in the future, there's a great light that emerges and takes away the darkness that has engulfed these people." So that's the first thing. The second thing he talks about is the fact that these people actually lived in the shadow of death. So it means that without any salvation, these people were overtaken by death. But then there's hope. It says that the light has shone around them, and so the hold of death is broken. And that is just prophecy, as is telling us. And then he talked about, he's also seen a group of people who are rejoicing and are excited as though they have conquered an enemy in a battle, and they have so much, booty that they began to share it among themselves in excitement. Yeah, they are excited. So much we have to share amongst us. And then he even compares that to a great harvest also, where, for instance, those of us who have worked on farms before, when you have a big harvest, there's a lot of excitement. So that's the kind of excitement that was springing forth in the spirit of Isaiah when he began to prophesy this. And then the third thing he saw was that he's saying that the yoke that was upon the necks of these people had been broken. So there was some burden that was placed on them. And this, I submit to you, is the burden of sin. So this burden, Isaiah is saying, "I see that that burden has been broken. And that burden has been taken away." And he compares it to what the Lord did on the day of Midian. And then the last thing he saw, he said that, "But these experiences, these things that are happening, are not going to happen easily. There's a battle that rages before these things happen. And he compares the experience of that battle with one of a warrior who is on the front lines fighting. He talks about the fact that, you know, he sees a lot of hustle. There's blood, there's fire that is coming out of this. Maybe supposedly to resist that which he sees as going to happen in the future. So you see, so Isaiah saw the birth of Christ, and the scripture that we read before, as I said, we know that. But this part of the scripture, I really want us to draw our attention to as we celebrate, because we need to capture the essence of the birth. So one thing that really struck me when I was preparing for this was that if someone were to ask me, what would have happened if Christ was not born, what would have been my answer? Because, you know, these are things that I believe, you know, these are things that no one deserves to live under. No one deserves to live under darkness. No one deserves to live under the shadow of death. No one deserves to be held down by burdens and yokes and oppressions. And so if one were to ask me, if Christ was not born, what would be the experience of the world today? That was something really that gripped my mind, and I really wanted to understand a bit more. And I know this is a rhetorical question, because we know that Christ was born, but I believe that as we celebrate Christ today, it is important for us to reflect even much more deeper on this particular question. So I have noted a few areas where, if Christ was not born today, what would have been the impact? Or what would things look like today in those particular areas of human life? The first area I looked at was, you know, in our politics today, or in matters concerning nation states, what would things look like if Christ was not born? And what occurred to me when I researched was that you will see that a lot of nations around the world have their constitutions and principles of nationhood built around Christian principles. And so if Christ was not born today, you would find that a lot of nations will not find a basis for their constitution, for instance. If we talk about the Constitution of the United States, you will see that a lot of the provisions in there are Christ-centered. So if Christ was not born today, you would find that a lot of countries would have principles that are un-Christian, for instance. Or maybe many countries will not even have found the basis for their being. And so that is a fundamental fact, right? Another area that I looked into was about world peace. You remember in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6, he says that, and his name shall be a wonderful counselor, the mighty God, everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So it means that the impact of the birth of Christ was supposed to bring about peace in the world. So I looked at what would have happened if Christ was not born. And I just looked at a few things that have happened as a result of Christmas, or events that took place around the birth of Christ that we have experienced today in our world that have made a difference. One of them is the truce of 1914. I believe that most of us know that during the First World War, there was this very popular truce that was unofficial, but nonetheless happened. So you have soldiers on either side of the battle deciding that, well, you know, we have fought long enough and Christmas is coming. On Christmas Eve, I think it's about time we lay down our arms and show some brotherly love. So we have what is called the popular Christmas Eve truce. Yeah, that's the picture over there. So I think somebody tried to reenact this. So this is a picture where, from what we understand, soldiers on the German side of the battle started to sing Christmas carols and Christmas songs and had lighted up their candles. And then the British troops on the other side also began to sing Christmas carols and Christmas songs. And then they began to walk closer to each other. And they actually went into this place, which was called No Man's Land, and actually shook hands with each other and exchanged gifts. This is the spirit of Christmas. If Christ was not born, this level of understanding and brotherliness would never have existed. And history tells us that there were about 100,000 troops who were involved in this. And the amount of artillery fire that was stopped on this day has saved a lot of lives. If Christ was not born, what would it have meant in the area of peace? Another particular peace treaty that was signed in 1814 was signed between the Americans and the British again. And this was the peace, this was the truce that was signed way back in Belgium, which is called the Treaty of Ghent. It was signed also on Christmas Eve. On Christmas Eve, the Americans and the British decided that we have fought enough, let us put an end to this battle. And from history tells us that that was the very last time United States and Britain had gone to war. There are other areas as well. If Christ was not born today, what would have happened to our educational system? As you know, a lot of the educational systems, especially in the Western world, is influenced strongly by Christian principles. Most of you know that some of the world's oldest universities were founded by Christians. You can talk of Harvard, you can talk of Yale, you can talk of Oxford. Almost all these universities and others that I could mention here were founded by Christian missionaries. And the reason for founding these universities was that they wanted to train people who were Christ-centered and could do public policy. So if Christ was not born today, perhaps we may not have heard of Harvard. We may not have heard of Oxford. We may not have heard of Princeton and others. And now I come from Ghana, and I can assure you that in a lot of the African countries, a lot of the schools that were set up there were set up by missionaries. They brought the word, and they brought education. If Christ was not born, what would have happened to literature, for instance? What would have happened to music and arts? And in this particular area, one would say that if Christ was not born, perhaps there would be no Christmas carols. And that would be a pity. I can't imagine the world without Christmas carols. That would be a pity. If Christ was not born in the area of architecture, we would not have seen almost all these beautiful cathedrals in Europe. Right? If you go to Turkey, you'll see the Cathedral of Hagia Sophia. If you go to Paris, you see the Cathedral of Notre Dame, for instance. And other places, you'll not have seen all of these things. And these things are historical landmarks that point to the existence of a Savior who has died and risen. And if Christ was not born in this particular area also, we would not have seen the New Testament. We would not have heard about the Gospels. No Mark, no Luke, no John. In fact, we will have no Acts. And then the rest of the epistles in the New Testament. Well, I can't imagine a world without Romans. I can't imagine a world without Corinthians. I mean, God has revealed so much through these apostles, such that I can't imagine. But all of this has been made possible because Christ was born. In the area of charity, we can go on. In the area of charity, the birth of Christ has made a significant difference. You remember that the shepherds actually went and gave gifts. And then after that, the followers of Christ also exhibited charity in their own way. The Bible said they took care of themselves. The ones who had sold their things and they gave to those ones who did not have. And this was something that did not exist before in the Roman Empire. You never saw a group of people take care of their own as much as they did. So without Christ, a lot of the charity work we are seeing today would probably not exist. We will not take care of our own. And here at CCC, I'm happy to say that last week, Saturday, we went out and showed our act of love in our neighborhood. This is because of the example that Christ has set for us. We are followers of Christ, and so we are beginning to do this, or have begun to do this ourselves. Now, the last area that I also looked at, which I think is the most important area, is the fact that if Christ was not born, there would be no salvation. And that affects just about everyone. Well, you can say, I don't care about education, I don't care about arts, I don't care about all the cathedrals you talked about, I don't care about charity, but how about salvation? No one in this room can talk about the fact that they don't care about salvation because it's about you yourself. Salvation impacts each and everyone in this world. If Christ was not born, there would be no salvation. That means that, you remember when we read in the book of Isaiah, he said the people who lived in the shadow of death, that means that death would have ruled over us, would not have had a way out of our ruin. But the good news is Christ is born. Amen? Or Christ was born. And that's the whole essence of this service. It is not so gloomy as I painted it. There's a lot of excitement, and that's why I believe that when the angels broke the news to the shepherds, they were excited because they knew of all of these things that were happening before then. The Bible said when they broke the news in the book of Luke, the angels themselves were so excited. And in fact, their excitement was so infectious that it also drew other hosts of angels to join them in that excitement, because they know that something has happened to mankind that will transform the life of mankind forever. So there was a great transformation that actually took place with the birth of Christ. Now, so I'd like to ask you this question. If you look at the excitement of the, let me go back here. I just went past this. One slide forward, please. Okay, great. Okay, so this is the news from the angels. It said, you have these shepherds who were minding their business, and all of a sudden, a light shows up around them, and there is good news that has been announced to them with a lot of excitement, something quite unusual, something they haven't seen before. And then, after they heard this, they said, well, let us go to this exact place where, you know, this news is being talked about so we can see for ourselves what is happening. Amen? So they left and went and investigated, and lo and behold, they saw exactly what they were told. Now, so with this spirit of excitement and joy, which was exhibited by the angels, and also with the spirit of curiosity that was exhibited by the shepherds, I'd like to ask you a question tonight. When was the last time you felt real joy in your life? You don't have to answer me now. You can ponder over it. When was the last time you felt real, real joy? I'm not talking about happiness. I'm talking about joy. When was the last time you felt a lot of joy in your heart? Was it when you graduated from school? Maybe. Was it when you had your dream job? Was it when you had your wedding ceremony? Wow, that would bring a lot of excitement. Was it when you bought your first car? Or maybe when you bought your first house? Or maybe when you bought your dream house? Was it when you first had your first child or your first grandchild, for instance? And for the young ones, was it when we had all of our Christmas wish list delivered by Santa, for instance? Was it that day when, you know, those very nice, special shoes that you were looking for eventually was delivered, for instance? Was it that day that you really felt a sense of joy? Was it a vacation or a special trip outside somewhere that made you excited? Was it a change of environment that made you feel a lot of joy? It could be just about anything for anyone. So our stories are always different in terms of what brings excitement and joy in our lives. But tonight I'd like to submit to you that there is one story that binds the entire world together in excitement. And that story is the story of the birth of Christ. Amen? If you leave this room and then you go to somewhere, you would find that if there's a Christmas Eve service, irrespective of their language, they are celebrating the same story. There is one unifying story in this whole world. You can go to the continent of Africa today. You can go to the Pacific. You can go to East and South. You can go to Europe. Everyone or people around the world, Christians around the world, are celebrating this particular day. And that calls for a sense of joy in us, a sense of excitement, because we are all bound together by the birth of Christ. The birth of Christ brings the unity of the body of Christ to all of us. So, here at CCC, we have had the chance to prepare for this day. Those of us that are members of CCC or visit us regularly, you will know that we started a couple of months ago trying to prepare our minds and our hearts for this day. Right? We started with a series in the book of Genesis, and then we talked about a couple of things in Genesis. We talked about the creation. We talked about the fall of man. We talked about the floods. We talked about Noah. We talked about Abraham and so on. And all of these things helped us to understand that we, in our fallen state, could not deliver ourselves. We couldn't save ourselves. In fact, we were going further down and down in degeneration. And all of these things were actually pointing to the need for a savior in our lives. And we also talked about the story of Cain and Abel and so on, the Tower of Babel, those of us who remember the series that we had in Genesis, leading us to the book of Luke, where we are today. So we've had some time to consider this idea of the birth of Christ. And so I expect, I hope that all of us here are ready for this day and are all excited to see that indeed, finally, this day has come to be with us. But I'd like to point out also that we should not be ignorant of the fact that all along, as we saw in the book of Isaiah, there is an enemy who has been trying to undermine the plan of God for our lives. He wants us not to experience this joy. He wants us not to be able to have this excitement in our lives. And it is important that as we celebrate this this day of Christmas Eve, that we are reminded of that. Because many years ago, this enemy almost derailed the plan of God for our lives. Remember in the Garden of Eden, he went in there, tried to deceive Adam and Eve, and he actually caused them to sin. And as a result of that sin, their relationship with God was severed. And as if that was not enough, he went on and worked through Cain, and he did something to his brother. And then he went on onto the story of Noah and the floods and the disobedience that came and the Tower of Babel. All of the pride and all of those things that the enemy elicited through the human race, all of this was intended to undermine this day that you and I are celebrating. So to a lot of the kids here, I'd like you to know that the real Mr. Grinch is not the one you see on TV. The one who really wants to steal your Christmas is Satan. He's the one who doesn't want us to enjoy this day. But God has given us this day because in all cases, in all attempts that the enemy has made towards us in terms of sort of undermining the plan of God for our lives, the word of God has prevailed. Amen? The word of God has prevailed. So I wrote here, I said from the Garden of Eden to the Garden of Gethsemane, and also from the Tower of Babel to the rise of the Babylonian Empire. Those of us who like to read, you can read the book of Isaiah chapter 14, and also you can read the book of Ezekiel. And also from the cradle to the cross, the enemy has always tried to undermine the plan of God for our lives. And he does that through deception, through lies, through death. But in all of these cases, the word of God has prevailed. Hallelujah. And that is why we have to celebrate, because we have prevailed over our enemy who is seeking to take the plan of God and the joy of God from us. So today, as we celebrate Christmas, we have talked about some of the things that would not have happened if Christ was not born. We have looked at the predicament of man and the fact that we couldn't help ourselves through the book of Genesis and some of the topics we studied there. And we have also talked about the fact that we have been constantly assailed by the enemy, even up until today, who is seeking to steal the story of Christmas away from us. But we have also talked about the fact that in spite of all of these things, the plan and the word of God has prevailed. So it calls for excitement, it calls for joy. Amen? And I'd like to invite you to join the shepherds and the angels who are celebrating. Maybe today also they are celebrating because we have chosen this day to be the Christmas Eve. They are celebrating because they know what has happened. I'd like to invite you to join the party, to join them and to sing the songs of praise that they were singing. They sang this song. They said, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards men." I'd like to invite you to join them. Because this means something for our lives. It means something for our very existence. Amen? I'd like to invite you to join that chorus, because without that good news, you and I would have been lost. Without that good news, you and I would not have gathered here. If you are a child of God, then joining the chorus also comes with a challenge. You'll recall that the angels spoke to the shepherds with joy, and the shepherds went and found out what was told them. And the shepherds went back and actually proclaimed the good news to the rest of the world. So if you are a child of God and you believe in the Savior, then I invite you to also be a proclaimer of that good news. Why don't you take that good news and proclaim it to the rest of the world? That you don't keep that good news to yourself alone, don't keep that joy to yourself alone, but go out there and share that good news. But if you haven't believed Christ, then this is an opportunity for you to come to know him. Right now, as we speak, He is standing at the door of your heart. If you will open your heart, he will come in and dwell with you. Is there anyone who wants to accept him? If you haven't heard of Christ, today you have heard of him. You have heard today that a Savior is born in the town of Bethlehem. Will you accept him as your Lord and your personal Savior? Will you join the company of angels and the saints that are singing, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill towards men"? Shall we close our eyes? Father, we just want to thank you for this evening. We thank you for helping us to understand your word concerning your birth. What would have happened if you were not born? We thank you, O God, for helping us to understand that we have a common enemy who is constantly seeking to take away our joy. But we thank you that, Father, you have always prevailed in all circumstances when the enemy has attempted to undermine your plan for us. And we thank you for calling us to be your children. I pray for each and everyone here today, those of us especially who haven't heard of your name or haven't given their lives to you, I pray that you will touch them and reveal yourself to them. And those of us who have accepted you as our Lord and our personal Savior, I pray that you will help us to do the work that the shepherds did, to take that work forward from this time and on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.